Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7, The Game.
1.4 on the clock. Ball flipped away by Tyus Jones. Ball game's over. The series is over. And for the first time in 3 years, the Golden State Warriors are going back to the Western Conference Finals. Final score, Warriors 110, Memphis 96. Golden State wins the series 4-2.
And what a night inside Chase Center as the Warriors finally vanquish the Memphis Grizzlies in 6 games. You hear the final call there from Tim Roy. Right here on 95.7 The Game, and the Warriors are on to the Western Conference Finals, not only for the first time in 3 years since 2019, but for the sixth time in 8 years. And I think in a lot of ways, it kind of feels like with the last couple of years and the pandemic, haven't been normal years. This is really the first pretty normal postseason that the NBA has had since 2019, and there are the Warriors right back on the biggest stage here and into the NBA version of the Final Four. Who will the Warriors play? Well, we're going to have to wait and find out on Sunday evening because the Suns and the Mavs still have a Game 7 to determine who's going to win the other Western semifinal series with obviously the Suns the favorite there, but the Mavs have been all the Suns could handle. So that game is Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, and then Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals to be played Wednesday, either in Phoenix if the Suns win on Sunday night or in Chase Center if the Mavs win on Sunday night. That tip will be at 6 p.m., and, of course, you can hear it right here on 95.7 The Game. So 888-957-9570 as we react to this one. The Xfinity mobile text line is open. You can also give me a call. Got to keep it rolling here. As long as the people want to talk about this one as the Warriors get the job done, 110-96, and where do you even begin in this one? I think you have to begin with Game 6, Clay. And there are just so many heroes tonight for the Warriors. But I think you do have to start with Game 6, Clay, and the shooting display that he put on, especially early in the ball game. Clay Thompson able to play in a Game 6 of the playoffs for the first time since the night in 2019 when he went down with the ACL injury. And he was just on fire at the beginning when the Warriors needed to be on fire at the beginning of the game. And we're talking before the game, and what's the best path to victory for the Warriors in this one? And for me, it was for all the discussion about defense and rebounding and physicality. And I was talking to a few people before the game. I said, hey, what if this is the night where the Warriors go out and they make 15, 18, 23 pointers and they just shoot it? You know, it seemed like they were due for one of those games where they were just going to shoot it well regardless of how the opposition was going to defend them, and they saved it for a pretty big night. And Klay Thompson saved his best performance of this series for the beginning and the end of the series. Obviously, the game winner in Game 1, and he puts the Grizzlies away as he ends up tonight with 30 points, but 11 of them for Klay Thompson in the first quarter, knocked down 3 of 3 from three-point range. I thought the Warriors set the tone for this night in the first quarter by knocking down 7 of 13 from 3. It would go on to be a 23-point make night, a 20 of 53, and the Warriors needed a lot of those to really prevent themselves from getting down by any more than 7. Largest lead in the ball game for the Grizzlies was 7. But yeah, Klay Thompson, the 11 points in the first quarter, and then you look at Klay Thompson, a big third quarter as well for Klay. He had 10 in the third quarter after the Warriors got off to the hot start. They cooled a bit from 3, but then picked it up. Steph Curry had a couple of big threes in a stretch there right before the half as the Warriors continued to make their run after going cold for a little bit. There was a 14-0 run for the Grizzlies after the Warriors had been up 7. The Warriors found themselves down 7, but then the Warriors some huge minutes, a 9-0 run themselves to close the half and take the lead back from the Grizzlies at the half. It wasn't going to be a night where the Grizzlies were going to run off and build some kind of lead and hide. Next up, Andrew Wiggins. Unbelievable. Two-way effort. Wiggins hit a couple of massive shots late in the shot clock. Really three of them. Two very late in the shot clock in the fourth quarter. And those were huge buckets, but the defense, and you're not going to want to miss what Mike Brown had to say about Andrew Wiggins' defense, but the defense tonight, the intensity, the fervor, the rebounding ability, and everybody crashing and helping the glass. Andrew Wiggins, unbelievable in this one, and the Warriors needed the grit and grind. How about 70 rebounds for the Golden State Warriors tonight? 70 rebounds, and they were led in that category by Kevon Looney, who was put back into the starting lineup. Another move that was discussed, and I know I threw it out on Twitter, that would have been my move for this one. Get Kuminga out of there. It didn't work for the couple of games that he was in the starting lineup. Go back to steady. Let Kevon Looney get on the boards. Let Kevon Looney try and bang with Steven Adams. And that's exactly what he did. You talk about Klay Thompson's first quarter in terms of scoring. How about Kevon Looney's first quarter in terms of rebounding? 11 rebounds for Kevon Looney in the first quarter. He winds up with 22 on the game. And the Warriors wind up with 70 for the game. They out-rebound the Grizzlies 70-44. And that's the most rebounds in an NBA playoff game in 39 years. You got to go all the way back to May the 4th of 1983 when the Spurs had 75 against Denver. The Warriors got right back on the Grizzlies on the boards. And I think if there is a story of this series now that it's all said and done, it really is the way that the Warriors were able to, really the first three games of the series, and then in the game tonight, just get the Grizzlies off the boards, match the physicality, and not let an area where the Grizzlies can be extremely effective dominate. And the Warriors also won the points in the paint battle again tonight at 36-34. So how did Kevon Looney wind up in the starting lineup? Well, I'm not going to wait for Mike Brown to say it, although we will play the audio from it coming up here. But Steph Curry and Draymond Green went to the coaching staff as they wanted to discuss, you know, what do we do? And Steph and Draymond said, let's start Looney. Let's put Looney back in the starting line. With Otto Porter likely to be out at that point. I thought it was funny. Mike Brown said they actually started talking about it during Game 5 because Game 5 had gotten so out of hand. But the call to get Looney back in there, to not worry about whether Looney and Draymond could play together or whatever, and to just trust somebody that's been a part of the championship core as much as Steph and Klay and Draymond have to a lesser extent. But the last, you know, toward the back end of that run of 5 finals in a row, Kevon Looney was massive. He was huge. And he winds up with 22 rebounds in the game and really helped set the tone for what wound up being a 70-44 advantage for the Warriors on the board. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. New feature on the program here tonight that's going to be running through the playoffs. Our hero of the game, presented by Handyman Heroes. Your problem is solved. Handyman Heroes delivers the highest quality service to each and every client. Save the day and call in the heroes. visit handymanhero.es. Handymanhero.es. And so many heroes for the Warriors in this one as we debut this feature here on Warriors Wrap Up. I got to give the nod to Game 6 Clay, who lived up to the billing as he always does and has so many times. I'm giving it to Kevon Looney for the career high 22 rebounds and the tone in setting a 70-44 advantage that the Warriors would have and basically saying they weren't going to get pushed around anymore by the Grizzlies. And Andrew Wiggins, who was just a terror on defense. Awesome effort for Wiggins on defense. Team high, plus 20, winds up with 18 points, knocked down 3 of 5 from three-point range, 11 boards. I mean, just the quintessential Andrew Wiggins performance there. So our heroes of the game, it's going to be threefold tonight. Klay Thompson for his performance, Andrew Wiggins for his performance, and you can't shake Kevon Looney, who played 35 minutes. And how about Mike Brown going with the 8-man rotation tonight? Would somebody else be playing because the Warriors were down Gary Payton II and Andre Iguodala and Otto Porter? Uh-uh. In fact, fewer players played than in any other game in the postseason for the Warriors. Little bit of Bielitsa off the bench, little bit of Damian Lee off the bench. Jordan Poole got his 24 minutes. And you look at the Warriors closing this series out with another different lineup than the way that they closed out the Denver series. If you remember, it was Gary Payton II and Otto Porter helping to close things out with Steph and Clay and Draymond against the Nuggets as they ground their way down and won that series in a fifth game here in Chase Center a couple weeks ago. And tonight it was another lineup, the more traditional starting lineup for the Warriors with Looney out there and Mike Brown really riding Steph and Clay, both over 40 minutes. Klay Thompson, 42 minutes. Andrew Wiggins, 41 minutes. Draymond played 38 minutes. I think that's a pretty good tell about how badly the Warriors wanted to avoid making another trip to Memphis with the raucous atmosphere there. And then how about Chase Center tonight? I thought Chase Center tonight lived up to the billing. Into it from the beginning, into it down the stretch with an opportunity for the Warriors to put the Grizzlies away as they did in the fourth quarter, outscored Memphis 32-19 in the fourth. There was a 23-10 close that was directly corresponding to when Andrew Wiggins came back into the game, and the Warriors were up 87-86 at that point, 23-10 the rest of the way. It all adds up to a 110-96 final, and the Warriors are on to the conference finals for the sixth time in 8 years and the first time since 2019. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to participate in the program, to give me a call or shoot me a text here. Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game. Also wanted to, along the lines of the fans, and before we get to the calls here, and we do have a couple of lines open right now, 6-0 now for the Warriors in the playoffs inside Chase Center. So I know there's been a lot of discussion about the atmosphere and you know, some games have been better than others to this point. I thought the two closeout games were particularly good, but 6-0 is 6-0. And you look at the Warriors now still have yet to lose in the postseason in this building, and that's going to be huge whether they take on the Suns or the Mavs as their opponent to be determined. All right, let's get Mr. Hard up first here on Warriors Wrap-Up with JD inside Chase Center on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Mr. Hard?
Yes, sir. You call me Wayne. Fantastic win. Calling from the great state of Florida, longtime Warriors fan. Just fantastic. Great show. Please, I'm hopeful the Warriors will listen to Steph and Draymond. No more Kuminga. I'm sure Kuminga is a fantastic young man, great future. But at this point in the playoffs, we need the championship DNA of Kevon. We need the experience of Oscar Porter. If he's able to come back, please, no more Kuminga.
All right, appreciate the call. I don't know that it's no more Kuminga, but I think at this point, And look, it's not an indictment on the career that Jonathan Kuminga is going to have. I mean, that's not really the way I wanted to come out and, you know, have this thing start. But he didn't play well. I mean, that's just the reality. He did not play well in this series, and it didn't work when the Warriors inserted him into the starting lineup. I thought he would play tonight. I really did. But look, when the chips are down, you go veteran and you shorten the rotation, and that's what a shortened rotation looks like. It, you know, you don't play the young players in the biggest game of the year when you're trying to avoid an elimination game on the road. So you look at that now, and that's exactly what Mike Brown and the coaching staff and Steph and Draymond, everybody was on the same page. Not an indictment of the career that Jonathan Kuminga is going to have. I think he's got an extremely bright future. It's obvious, but not his game tonight, and that's okay because it allowed Kevon Looney to go out there and grab 22 rebounds and allowed the Warriors to get off to their best start of the series tonight with the four-point lead at the end of one, and the ball was moving, and they hit seven threes in the first quarter as well. 888-957-9570. Bobby G in the city up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Bobby G.
Yo, JD, you hear me?
I got you loud and clear, Bobby G. What you got, man? Loud and clear, Bobby.
Warriors fans, we are excited tonight. I didn't get a chance to go to the game. But, man, it was an all-around team effort. I think Wiggins, honestly, the most consistent throughout. Like, I've never seen him – how many years has he played? Like five, six, seven? I've never seen him through two, three, 4 weeks of intense playoff basketball that he's not used to. And I've never seen him doing it this during the regular season because I'm a betting man. And his over-under rebounds in the regular season was like three. He's been going for double-digit rebounds. So that goes out to him. Hit a couple big threes at the end. But we all know Clay. Like, I had no doubt Game 6 Clay is still in him, and he showed us. Draymond, you know, after a bad game. Like, if you're a longtime Warriors fan, you know he's going to come back hard. You know he's going to do his job. How many rebounds he get? Defensive stop. But we all knew we needed Curry to end it because – or at least in the fourth quarter to score. Because Dylan Brooks, who would have thought? 30 points. And was it efficient? Was it efficient 30? It was timely 30, like the way he scored. And
yeah, he was matching Klay Thompson 3-for-3 there for a little bit, Bobby. And thanks for the call, Bobby G. We'll appreciate it. We'll keep it moving here at 888-957-9570. Yeah, Dylan Brooks was he had a good ball game offensively, and the Grizzlies needed it. And look, you do have to give the Grizzlies a lot of credit. I know tonight's about the Warriors, and tonight's about vanquishing the Grizzlies, and tonight's about moving on to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in 3 years and for the sixth time in 8 years. But, yeah, I do think you need to take a quick moment to give a nod to the Grizzlies, who did lose their best player in the middle of the series and still fought and scratched and clawed and darn near won a couple of games at Chase Center. The Warriors, too much for them down the stretch in Game 4 and Game 6, and then put a thumping on the Dubs in Game 5 back in Memphis. But there was no – you felt like the Warriors were going to have to break the Grizzlies rather than the Grizzlies were just going to fold, and the Warriors were able to do that with a couple of just massive sequences down the stretch in the game. With Wiggins hit a three, then he had a steal and a dunk, and then he had a stop on Brooks as they were kind of going one-on-one, and that led Draymond to hit Steph, who buried a three, and that was the dagger. That was the dagger three for me. It's big 7-point stretch right there to where the Warriors for the first time got a little bit of separation, and at that point it was just you knew that the Warriors were probably going to have enough to close it out. 888-957-9570. Gary in Danville next year on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Gary.
Hey, JD. Hey, I am going to beat the Wiggins drum. Two-way Wiggs was awesome all series long. He was a beast in Game 4. A beast again tonight. If you go back and you watch, I watched the replay of Game 4, just all over, just hustling to the ball. Anytime a ball went up, he's down there trying to get the rebound. He was an absolute beast, and I wish he would get more credit from the afternoon hosts. I know a couple of them are appreciative of him, but he was absolutely awesome. And I know that, you know, watching the game tonight, there was a couple plays where afterwards Draymond and Steph were in his face and all, you know, extremely happy and trying to get him pumped up. But it was so fun to watch. I was going to ask you, do you know any news about Peyton, whether or not he's potentially next round or potentially, you know, the finals, if at all possible?
Yeah, I know. I know the original word was that it was going to be a couple of weeks as far as when his reevaluation was going to be. So I'll dig that up again. But there hasn't been anything new since the original reevaluation. So you got to go all the way back to game two, which was, what, 10 days ago. And yeah, you look at that and you see, you know, where the Warriors kind of go from there as far as when he's going to be reassessed. And I know the point at which he was going to be reassessed was May the 5th. So it was after game two, the little break in between game two and game three of this series. At that point, they said that he would be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So you go back to May 5th, and they said that Peyton II would be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So the next update on Peyton would be this coming Thursday. So in between game one and game two of the conference finals would be the next update on what's going on with Gary Payton II. I'll tell you another thing, just as far as Otto Porter Jr., being able to win this game without Otto Porter Jr. and now get him what will amount to the 4 days off, because the Warriors are not going to play Saturday or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. Now he gets an opportunity to get a little bit of a break, as the Warriors have given him a little bit of a break throughout the course of the regular season. It was becoming concerning, the every other day component of this thing, and Porter having to play more minutes, more stressful minutes, and the Warriors able to get him a little bit of a breather there, which I think is good for the next series as you start to shift gears along those lines. Let's get Robin in San Francisco next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Robin.
Hey, thanks for having me. I know I call you after every game. I went to this game. I tell you what was really noticeable was Andre Iguodala's three-piece funeral suit, okay?
Oh, my.
Me and my brother was cracking. Did you catch that suit, Andre?
I did. Anyway, I did.
I swear, I said, Andre, I mean, it was a clean suit, but I swear, it reminded me of something you wear to a funeral, okay, JD? But I have to tell you this. Wiggins, this truly was a strength in numbers game. I had to go back and watch it at home because I was there caught up in the moment. And I'm like, said to myself, how did we win this game? But it came down to execution, and it came down to really, even Bill Lisa pitched in, okay? He really did with the little time he was in. But let me tell you something that went unnoticed that nobody's talked about. Looney was out there not only rebounding, JD, he was setting some damn good screens, some hard screens that got Clay open. Did you see him out there, that first screen? He actually pushed dude down, my brother said. He pushed him down. He meant to let him know he was here. I'd just like to comment on that. He was out there setting some magnificent screens. He got caught for an illegal one. It was a couple more illegal ones, too. But anyway, peace out, good win. And Bonte actually saw me. I was waving at him through the window. Love you, JD. Bye.
Appreciate it, Robin. Robin, I need to know when, Robin, you're coming to a game in the future, because I want to meet you, Robin. I want to meet you. I want to say hi to you. I want to talk to you a little bit. And you know, maybe have a little, you know, just have a little show. We could do our own little couple minute show, you know, before or after a game sometime. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, Looney, he brings a lot of, frankly, what Steven Adams had brought to the Grizzlies over the fourth and the fifth game of this series. He just has an ability at five assists. He was even a ball mover tonight. For all the conversation about him and Draymond and how, you know, there's two people that you don't have to guard, he was able to keep the ball moving a little bit, in addition to the 22 rebounds and 11 offensive rebounds for Kevon Looney. So the Warriors got back to an area where they were really successful in the first three games of this series, which was hitting the Grizzlies in a way where the Grizzlies traditionally have hit other opponents and hit the Warriors in game four and game five. Tony in Oakland next on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. Hey, Tony. going on, Tony? Tony, you there, man? Turn that radio down, brother.
I'm here.
What do you got, man? Turn that radio down. All right, see you, Tony. 888-957-9570. Yeah, you just turn that radio down. We got a little delay going. You just talk directly to me into the phone. We're good to go. You know, Radio 101 for the last, I don't know, 40 years. But that's all right. Appreciate it, Tony. We'll give you another shot if you want to check back in. AJ in the Bay. AJ, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's up, AJ?
Yo, 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 JD, what is up, my brother?
Hey, what's going on, man?
The Warriors hit on the five. The Warriors hit on the five key things that they needed to hit on tonight. One, Steph had to get going early on. Check. Two, Draymond had to start putting up points and being more aggressive. Check. Three, we needed Kevon Looney in that starting lineup to help grab boards, especially with big boy Steven Adams in there. Check. Grabbing 22 boards, that's a monster playoff performance. Three, we needed Game 6 Clay, and he showed up, didn't disappoint. Game 6 showed up like a stud, and you know, and to top that all off too, getting everybody else involved. Two-way Wiggins was a monster and a beast all series long. Yeah, he was kind of off with the shot early, but I'll tell you, when it counted and he needed to make big plays, he was making big plays. He was hitting big shots. He was put in the position to win and to do things. That's why this team is not just making the Western Conference Finals, not just making the finals. We're winning this thing. We're winning another chip and showing the rest of the league why this team is a dynasty, not just a fly-by-night team, not just a once-in-a-while team. This team is a dynasty and here to stay, JD.
Appreciate the call. Look, I think this team's got a shot, as good a shot, I think, as anybody that's left in the playoffs at winning it. Now, they're going to need things to break right. They're going to need, I think, a little better health than they've had in this series. The one thing is you start to look forward and just being real. And I know tonight's a lot about feeling good, and it should be. I mean, this was a six-game series that probably felt like 10 games, just with the physicality and the back and forth and the toll. The Grizzlies took a pound of flesh from the Warriors. They banged up Otto Porter. They knocked Gary Payton out with the brutal, dirty, gutless foul from Dylan Brooks, and Iguodala's still out. At this point, so you look at this whole thing, and so they lost three rotation players essentially in this series, and those are three rotation players in the long battle of attrition in a playoff run, and the Warriors find themselves now halfway. They're halfway to a championship. Think about that for a second. The Warriors are halfway to a championship tonight. They have to win as much as they already have again, and now they're banged up. And the one thing I will say moving forward, I do think whoever the Warriors play in the next round, and really the next two rounds, and I think Boston or Milwaukee, whoever wins their game seven on Sunday is going to win the East. No disrespect to Miami, but I think Boston or Milwaukee are going to win the East. And they'll play again a game seven on Sunday, a couple of good game sevens on Sunday. But if the Warriors play the Mavs or if the Warriors play the Suns, those teams are both better teams than the Warriors just played. More polished teams, I think, you look, especially better teams than the Grizzlies without Morant as well as this thing kicks on. So I do think, the Warriors are tonight's a great accomplishment. It's a great night. Feel good. Everybody should be partying and all in on Clay, all in on Wiggins, all in on Looney. The relief of not having to play a game seven back in Memphis. Finally throwing the Grizzlies out of the playoffs after all the smoke that they were throwing at the Warriors and everything this series entailed. This is just the beginning. Still. This is the completion of the first half of a championship run, and this series did physically take a toll on the Warriors to the tune of three players now banged up and a bunch of players having to go 40-plus minutes in a game six. So that's not nothing as this thing moves forward. And yes, the Warriors do have 4 days off before they're going to play. I think it would be a tremendous break if the Mavs beat the Suns and the Warriors get to host the Western Conference Finals in Game 1 and Game 2 and have home court advantage. Like, here's the bottom line. If Dallas beats Phoenix, the road to the championship comes through Chase Center, because the Warriors would be the only team that they would have home court advantage throughout the final two rounds over everybody, over Dallas and over anybody in the East. The Warriors already would. So you could make the case that if Dallas somehow goes in and wins in Phoenix on Sunday night, the Warriors are, at least on paper, if you go by the regular season record, the favorite at that point to win the championship. Now, who's the healthiest now? Who's, you know, all of that remains to be seen. The Bucks have championship pedigree. You know, these are all conversations for the coming weeks here. But the Warriors have as good a shot to win it as anybody, but this series definitely took a toll. Rich Ray next on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Rich Ray?
JD, you do a great job. You know, I always got to stay up to hear your take, man. Sometimes I got to get to work the next morning, and you just mess me up the next
appreciate
day.
Appreciate it.
Real quick. Robin, you know, you should get her in the studio. She's definitely the best caller. And then my two takes. You know, the Warriors seem to always have a second gear. You know, they really hang you out on a rope, and then they always seem to come with a second gear. You know, it's just a quality of a championship team. But my real take for tonight is that those rookies, Kuminga, Poole, just our four, Wiseman, I'm sure was watching.
Sure, Moody.
Our other draft pick. You know, they got a chance. They are watching this stuff. And Memphis is coming back for us. They are going to try
no doubt
this trick for the next 2 or 3 years. They coming back. And, you know, we're going to have problems with them. And for these rookies to just see how we just somehow got 70 rebounds, like, how did that happen? The rookies is like, how did that happen? You know, and that's what builds the next dynasty, is these rookies paying attention on the bench. You know, I play basketball at a high level. Them, they need to watch and see what's really going on to carry on this trend and to be able to fight Memphis in the next 3 to 5, like Tom Tolbert was talking about. Like, because these guys, they're going to eliminate us at some point. You know, I'll take your take off the air, man. But yeah, that part.
Great. No, that's a good. That's a great call, Rich Ray. I mean, look, and I thought the Grizzlies. There was a pivot point in this series, just from their standpoint, for me, where, you know, Game 3 got ugly for them, and the Warriors blew them out. And there was a point where, all right, John Morant's hurt. The Grizzlies just got beat by 30. Are they going to punk out now? Are they going to, after you know, throwing it at the Warriors and all of the chatter about this and that and curious about who was doing what and Jordan Poole and all the nonsense – like, the Grizzlies were caught up in the nonsense, I thought. And that was another advantage Warriors in the first half of this series, as we start to extrapolate it out as to, you know, what were the big keys. The Warriors were they got the Grizzlies caught up in the other stuff. And I think that was the biggest key to the first half of the series. But then there was a point where the Warriors, you know, the question of the series was could they at that point, were they going to just tap out? Were they going to punk out? Were they going to get blown out in Game 4 and go back home and lose 4-1 in this series? And I think the Grizzlies saved face because they didn't, because of the way they played in Game 4 and because of the way that they played in Game 5 and thumping the Warriors and because of the way they were competitive in Game 6 tonight and going out without their star player. Like, that to me tells you that they have the ability to come back again. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I think they are going to be a force to be reckoned with over the years. And there is a little bit of that, you know, little brother, big brother, or, you know, maybe you play a team once and they beat you and then you play them again and maybe they beat you and then you play them the third time and then it flips. And then that team becomes the team. We'll see. Because the Warriors are obviously getting on, and they're going to need those younger players to battle at some point with the guys that the Grizzlies are rolling. So let's keep it moving. 888-957-9570. John Dickinson here inside Chase Center. Warriors wrap it up as they beat the Grizzlies 110-96 here to take the series 4-2 and on to the Western Conference Finals. Let's keep it rolling. We have Maggie in Fairfield next on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Maggie. Maggie, you there?
Hey, yeah, can you hear me?
Hey. Loud and clear, Maggie. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, yeah. We just think it was a monster of a game. Like, cannot believe after that blowout, game five, we were in the Oakland A's stadium and caught it tonight. Caught the A's, they lost, but caught the end of the Warriors game and they won. And it was amazing. The dribbling and the shooting and just like they slayed it. It was amazing. Cannot
just a feel good night.
Just a feel good night. Exactly. It was awesome.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Maggie. Thank you very much for checking in. Don't make it your last call. 888-957-9570. As the Warriors get the victory here on 95.7 The Game. And, yeah, just a lot of different – for playing an eight-man rotation, you could really make a case that everybody in their own way, especially the five starters, really just put a positive imprint on the ball game. And, you know, Jordan Poole – not his best series as it went on, but Jordan Poole helped the Warriors in the first couple of games of this series. He helped them get really two of their first four wins. He helped them get. He struggled as this series went on, and I think championship pedigree gets thrown around a lot, but tonight really is a championship pedigree game. You've got Draymond, going 14-15-8. You've got Steph getting it going early and really putting the Grizzlies to bed. You've got Game 6 Clay. You've got Kevon Looney setting a tone with the 22 boards. And then you got Andrew Wiggins, a newbie, not without the championship pedigree, but playing like a dude with the championship pedigree with everything that he did defensively and everything he was able to do as far as just some timely buckets. And yeah, there was a point when it was 87-86 before the Warriors closed it at 23-10 where you're thinking, my goodness, is this thing, it's just, you almost just had to take a deep breath in the building like, oh, this whole series has been like this. And then right in that moment, the Warriors were able to make the one final push and put the Grizzlies away. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Station. We're brought to you by DuckDuckGo, Privacy Simplified, John Dickinson, Inside Chase Center. Let's keep it rolling on the phones. The people want to talk. Ricky in Boston next on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Ricky?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing well, man. What's on your mind?
Awesome, man. Listen, I'm happy. Obviously you know that. Huge Klay Thompson fan. I called you this whole week and I was kind of hard on Klay. It was just frustrating to see Klay, being a shell of himself, I was hoping this kind of Klay when he came back. Realistically, I knew I wasn't going to get it. There was times during the season he gave you big games, the Milwaukee game, the Nets game, the Lakers game, but it was never consistent. I just want this to lead to being consistent, throughout the playoffs and hopefully the championship. If Klay plays like this, you guys won't lose. You guys are winning the championship by far, right? And, I just, another thing, do you think, Coach Brown, had his own game strategy? What I mean by saying that is, I know the last couple of games, he probably took Steve Kerr's strategy, right? Playing, 10 people, 11 people. Today, he only played 8 people, right? And Klay played 42 minutes. I think that's really impressive, actually, to be honest with you. And, if Mike Brown does that, and if Steve Kerr does it, I think that's a better, game plan, in my opinion. All right, man. Thank you, man. God bless. Bye.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Ricky. Look, Mike Brown addressed this in his post-game press conference. I know we've had a lot of calls, so we haven't gotten to the Mike Brown audio, so I'll just paraphrase it. He said it was planned tonight. And, look, Steve Kerr would have played 8 tonight. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. And Mike Brown's made it pretty clear that Steve Kerr's still running the show as far as the coaching meetings and everything, even as he continues to deal with COVID and the positive test that came up before game four. So I think, look, they were down 3 rotation players, and the question is, are you going to play at that point maybe the 9th or the 10th, 11th, and 12th guys on your roster, or the 11th, 12th, and 13th guys on your roster, or you're just going to play 8? And the Warriors chose to play 8, and I think – you extend the minutes a lot like you extend your closer in baseball, where, you know, in playoff games, closer's not just pitching the ninth. Your closer might be pitching, you know, one out in the eighth, two outs in the eighth. It might be pitching in the seventh, because that's the biggest outs of the game. The Warriors did that tonight with their closers. They ran. I think there was a point where Looney played 17 minutes in a row to finish the game. I mean, when has he done that all year? Well, you do that because you're trying like hell to avoid a game seven and go back. You go all in and say, we're going to push it to the max to not go back to game seven, to get 4 days off to recover and rest. The issue is you can't do that every game in a playoff series, especially once a playoff series starts rolling, and it starts rolling every other day, and you got a little bit of an older team. So sometimes you do it by necessity, and sometimes doing it by necessity can lead to, you know, guys wearing down in terms of maybe injury, or guys wearing down in terms of performance. Clay came through in the biggest moment, but I think the question is, can the Warriors win it if Clay has two games like tonight and like maybe the game one that he had in a seven-game series? You know, can they win it if he only has three games out of six or seven like that? Can they, you know, can they win if Jordan Poole only has two good games out of six? Like, that's the more realistic question, because the truth is nobody in the playoffs really is going to have every game like tonight where you're making 8 3-pointers. It just doesn't happen. Joe in San Jose next on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's going on? I want to give a shout out to Memphis Grizzlies. They really, you know, they made the Golden State Warriors look in the mirror and say, you know what, we're not done, so let's get on our feet and go out there and earn this one and go to the next round. But I don't believe there's a team in the NBA that can stop this team. They're up by two or three. I see they're up by 14. It just comes when it wants to come. And you can't stop it. And the NBA can't stop it. It's Steph's going. Poole's going to go. And Clay's going to go. And even if they don't go all together, they each got two games. So that's six games. And you only got to win four. Have a good night, my man.
No, that's exactly how it's probably going to look, Joe, if the Warriors are going to win it. It is going to be, hey, can you get two of the three on a given night and then do a lot of the other little things? Have Kevon Looney be an ultimate glue guy as he was tonight. Have Otto Porter be the ultimate glue guy in a couple of games as he was in this series. Look, Otto Porter was not the story tonight because he was unavailable, but Otto Porter Jr. was a major story in this series. And you look at, you know, going into tonight, there was some significant concern as far as Otto Porter and him not being available, because the Warriors were plus 45 with Otto Porter on the floor in the series and minus 55 with Otto Porter not on the floor in the series. Think about that. There's a 100-point swing with Otto Porter on the floor versus not on the floor, from plus 45 to minus 55. With him off the floor. So that was a little dangerous for the Warriors tonight, but they got it done, and they got it done with the collective effort of a lot of the players that we've been talking about. And they got it done overcoming just another brutal night in terms of turnovers. I mean, 17 turnovers. You know, that and the Grizzlies showing some moxie and an ability to hit the three-point shot themselves allowed the Grizzlies to hang in the game until down the stretch. The Warriors were able to clean up some of the turnovers, and then they pushed away from the Grizzlies and pushed toward the 23-point make mark of the night, 20 of 53 to the Grizzlies, 15 for 36. Omar in Walnut Creek next on 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570. Hey, Omar.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Oh, what's going on, Omar?
Yeah, you know, we're just on the we're on the way back from the game right now, and I just want to talk about how the Warriors, they're sticking with it even after 11 turnovers in the first half. We were still up 2 points. It just shows like the veteran team that we have. Yeah, Grizzlies don't have Ja Morant, but they're also a rough, gritty young team that honestly has a very bright future, and honestly I can see them winning it someday. I think they have like a 20-5 record without Ja Morant, something like that. But yeah, it just shows the experience by the Warriors moving on in this series, even after I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit worried coming into this game just because of the momentum the Grizzlies had after that last game, 52 points. But to stick with it, even after 18, 19 turnovers, I think, and to pull out, it's a pretty big game. So we're looking, hopefully the Mavs pass, but I think we need GP2 in that series, even if Mavs or the Phoenix Suns pass. So we'll see what happens.
Yep, thanks, Omar. Look, either way, I think the Warriors are going to face a tougher opponent in the next round, even if it is the Mavs. I mean, Luka Doncic is no joke, all right? And I know the Warriors at times have done better against the one-man band kind of teams where, you know, one guy's handling it a lot. The Warriors were better, frankly, in this series with Ja Morant being a one-man band. And the Grizzlies were able to get – I think that threw the Warriors in the middle of this series to the point where I think the way they were going to defend Morant was such a big part of the game plan that I think it threw him for a couple of games when he was out. And yeah, the Grizzlies were 20-5 in the regular season, and they wound up, 21-6 coming into the game tonight, and they finished the year 21-7. Luke Mann in Fairfield. Let's keep moving on the phone lines, 888-957-9570. Hey, Luke Mann.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Doing well.
Awesome. Thanks for taking my call, JD. Big fan. On my way home with my girlfriend from the elimination game, you know, because we had to take them teddy bears out the playoffs, put them back on the shelf because, you know, they squeaking too much. They talking too much. They don't know their place. They will be great, but they got to earn it. And they couldn't do it against our boys because our guys are champions. Wiggins with the energy tonight was great. Curry hit a three. And it really had the place rocking, and I think it was the three that is going to really make Chase Center a popping place. I think it's going to sound different from here on out, and I honestly can't wait for the conference finals, whoever we take on, if it's the Diva boy or the little mad guy, you know, in Arizona that just can't get it done because we're going to keep him from getting it done. Thanks, JD.
Appreciate it, Luke, man. Let's keep it moving with Andrew and Hayward next at 95.7 The Game. Hey, Andrew.
Guys, thank you so much. What a thriller of a game. You were talking earlier about distractions, about the Grizzlies getting focused on, you know, Jordan Poole yanking a knee, and, of course, he's exonerated with this whole bone burn thing. And I think the latest was in Game 5, Draymond's got a bad look. Dancing to Whoop That Trick at the end of the show. And just none of that is basketball. And then to turn around and get a game where you beat them with rebounds, with Kevon and Steph grabbing boards over guys that are so much bigger than them, just absolute demonstration of the heart and integrity of this team. I guess the thing that worries me is the turnovers, and there's so many instances where it's like Poole, Wiggins, or even Steph, they don't quite turn it over, but they lose the handle for a second. They get it back, turns into a sloppy possession, and just got to tighten that up. I feel like we can beat the Mavs. I feel like we can shut down Chris Paul. It reminds you of those old, you know, Warriors-Rockets matchups when they still had Harden and Chris Paul, and I'm very optimistic for the future of this team.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-957-9570. Thank you, Andrew and Hayward. And look, there were a lot of different facets to this series, as any playoff series has. And you look at game one, both teams are shooting the three ball well, but the Warriors were able to win the battle in the paint. They won the battle on the rebounds. And that was the early stretch of this series. They were, you know, Morant was getting his, but nobody else was getting theirs. And then the Grizzlies got caught up, and then they lost Morant. And then Steven Adams came back, and there was an adjustment there. And then they played better team ball and much better defense and much more physically with Adams back in there and with Morant out and sort of their defensive lineup. And then the Warriors had to adjust to that. But one of the massive stories of this series for the Warriors in their wins, Andrew, is exactly that with respect to it's the Warriors beat the Grizzlies at the Grizzlies' own game in this series. They beat them in the paint multiple times. They eviscerated them on the boards tonight and beat them on the boards multiple times in this series. that's why the Warriors, as much as anything, are on to the conference finals to take on either the Suns or the Mavs beginning on Wednesday night. Akil in Dublin next on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Akil.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. You know, that last stretch, you know, when the second play after Wiggins took the ball away from Brooks and Brooks turned it over, when Draymond was on the fast break, the first thing I thought to myself was, oh, man, he's about to turn the ball over again. I mean, that was the story of the game. But, you know, that last stretch showed the veteran experience of this team, and it also showed how impactful Steph Curry is, because on two or three of those plays, they overcommitted to Steph Curry big time. And that left Clay, Draymond, all these other guys wide open in the fourth quarter. And, you know, as long as Steph Curry is our core, part of our core, along with Clay and Draymond, you know, we can always be optimistic that this team will pull out a victory. You know, shout out to the Grizzlies. They're a great team. They're going to be good next year. But, you know, I'm happy. And before I go, just say go Mavericks, because I'd rather play the Mavericks and the Suns in a seven-game series in the next round. Yeah, have a good night. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Akil. I think you're rooting for Dallas if you're a Warriors fan, no doubt. You get the home court advantage. You're playing a team that is a one-man band in a lot of ways. And I know Jalen Brunson's played terrific, and Finney Smith has played terrific, and Dinwiddie was a handful. Look, that's not to say the Mavs are a pushover by any stretch of the imagination. And they've been a handful on the Suns in this series. I mean, that's why they're going to play Game 7 on Sunday at 5 o'clock Pacific time down in the Valley to figure out who the Warriors' opponent is going to be. But I think, yeah, you want the home court. You want the road to have to go through Chase Center as far as getting to the finals. And you take your chances on that. And if it winds up being Phoenix, then whatever. You know, as the rally towel in Memphis said, you know, ain't ducking no smoke. I don't think the Warriors are ducking any smoke if it winds up being the Suns, but it would lead to a different trajectory as far as that series goes, with the first two games on the road and the pivot point games, Game 5, Game 7, if necessary, to be played on the road as well. Raven in San Francisco next on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Raven.
Hey. I just wanted to point out how, with the Nuggets as well as the Grizzlies, how they resorted to playing bully ball. You know, some of that wasn't physicality. It was more like, you know, like when Bane went toward Damian Lee, it looked like he had intentions to just mow him down. And you know, just for a young team, they're so young. And then the Warriors have, like, what, maybe three or so players in their 30s. And for a team that young and talented to have to resort to playing that type of ball where we, you know, even the Nuggets, where we have to do this in order to beat them. So I just thought it was a big deal that the Warriors overcame that, and they never resorted to, like, just trying to mow somebody down, but they just win, you know, with pure skill and talent.
That's a great call. It was skill and talent, and also, look, the Warriors held their own in terms of the bully ball too. I mean, let's just call it real. And I mean, the Warriors held their own in this series in terms of physicality and pushing back, and, you know, some of those screens that Looney was setting tonight, that Robin was pointing out earlier, Draymond locking up with Steven Adams. Like, the Warriors didn't run from the physicality, but the reality is, that's the playoffs. And, you know, Denver didn't have the personnel to do it the way the Grizzlies did. And I actually don't think, in some ways, the Suns have the personnel quite like the Grizzlies do, in terms of the guys that are just brutal and a lay wood to you, and also be able to chase you around with the athleticism and the speed. The Suns have a very good defensive team when they're on. They got a lot of good wing players. Dallas has some good wing players and some guys that can defend, and I think they will play very physically, as any Jason Kidd coach team would. But I think you could make the case in some ways that not playing the Grizzlies anymore is going to be a little bit of a breath of fresh air for the Warriors, but playing the Grizzlies and beating the Grizzlies didn't come free, right? Six playoff games with incredible intensity, and you lost three rotation players along the way that you're going to have to work back into the fold. It's not as if you win this series and you take a deep breath and you're whole again, and you're just and you might be reinvigorated from the 4 days off, but you start over with a little bit less in the tank than you had at the beginning of that second round series when this thing started 13 days ago on that Sunday afternoon, May the 1st, at FedEx Forum. One Wheel Phil next on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, One Wheel Phil?
Hey, JD, thank you for having me. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
So I kind of want to talk about Thrive City and just the overall vibe of the Chase Arena tonight. I thought the fans brought it. So I want to shout out Dub Nation for bringing the energy. And we're going to need you for the fans that go inside the game. We're going to need you. I'm challenging you to bring it for this next series. Let's keep the energy up and let's keep it going. Last thing, I believe a caller earlier today, I was listening to Ray Ratto and Damon Bruce, and they said every time Draymond scores and he has a good game, we win. So shout out Draymond, shout out Looney. Again, thank you, JD, for having me. Have a good night.
Appreciate it, One Wheel Phil. From Phil, we go to Jonathan in Oakland on 95.7 The Game. We'll go rapid fire here. We're just rolling. We're just rolling here on a Friday night. Who needs to take a commercial break? Well, Sterling's probably saying in the studio and everybody, like, JD, you've been going for an hour, for crying out loud, and haven't taken a commercial break. But who needs a commercial break when the people want to talk? Jonathan, you're next here on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks. I've been putting this on hold because I wanted to make sure until the Warriors actually got there, but who we want to take in the Western Conference Finals, if it's going to be – I've been wanting to go against Chris Paul the whole – I've been saying it before the postseason. But now I'm thinking might as well be Dallas, because I don't think I want to see Chris Paul even make it to the finals. I don't want to see him get any flowers at all now. And I just wanted to see what you felt about that.
Well, look, if I'm a Warriors fan, I'm wanting the Mavs to be on, and just I'd rather have home court. I keep it pretty simple. I know I've talked a lot. You know, Doncic is such a focus, as tremendous as he is, and he's only going to be getting better over the years. I do think the Warriors have a better shot at going up against a team that has the one guy that has the ball in his hands a lot. I think over the years they've been able to take those players away. And I just feel, for as good as the Mavs are, and they're peaking, they're playing excellent basketball, at least, well, in some of these games, the home games at least, in this series against Phoenix. They've got some wing players that can pose some problems as well. I think the Mavs, with the home court advantage, that's the path of least resistance. But as far as, you know, seeing Steph and Chris Paul again, seeing the Suns who got to the finals last year, seeing the Suns who think, you know, that they now have some kind of pedigree attached to them, even though they didn't win the championship last year, you know, them trying to fight to get back. I mean, if the Warriors beat the Suns may not win a chip with Chris Paul. You know, they had the second best record and didn't win it last year with a 2-0 lead and ran it back and had the best record in the NBA this year. If you knock the Suns out this year, like that might be a wrap, because Chris Paul ain't going to be around forever at the level that he's at, and their young players, as talented as they are not equipped to win a championship without Chris Paul playing at an extremely high level. So their timeline's a little bit off in a way if he starts to dip or starts to have more injury issues of his own. Lady is next on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Lady.
Hey, good
lady,
evening.
Are you there?
How are you?
Hey, doing well, lady.
Good, good,
go ahead. The floor is yours.
Good. So I'm just, you know, I hear you included, everybody talking about how well, you know, of a game or series that Memphis played, and true enough, they did. But the Warriors went in there and they did what they had to do. And I'm still bitter over the whole Brooks and GP2, you know, flagrant and GP2 getting hurt and everything. So I'm just so thankful that the Warriors got in there and did what they had to do. Klay, he did what he had to do. Draymond, Wiggins, everybody. And I'm just, I want to give a shout out to all the Bay Area fans out there that didn't make it to the game. All the people out at Cafe Envy, to Shears Barbershop, all the true Bay Area Warrior fans that just support the Warriors day in and day out. And I'm just happy that they went in there and did what they had to do. You guys have a good night.
Thank you, lady. Appreciate it. And I know a lot, you speak for a lot of Warrior fans as far as the Dylan Brooks, Gary Payton II deal. There's no question about it. Bob in San Jose is next here on 95.7 The Game, and then I promise we'll take a break. Still time for some more phone calls. But, Bob, you'll close out this 1 hour of fury here, commercial-free, on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Bob?
Well, man, thanks for taking my call. First time at Chase Center. Couldn't have been a better first time. I got to take my son. We've grown up watching the Warriors. He's in his 20s now. And I'm most appreciative. I just want to express my gratitude to this team for living up to their strength in numbers moniker. And it's not just a marketing statement. It's, we all know the Warriors are beloved because of how they play, when they play smart and when they do it right. And to see them get second chance points and to beat it on the board, which they're not necessarily known for, was just awesome. Just absolutely awesome to see, and good for them for knocking that chip, you know, what could have been a chip on their shoulder after such a, emaciating loss in the last game. So just couldn't be happier.
Thanks for the call, Bob. 888-957-9570. Still time for some phone calls. We'll get to some text messages as well. We'll hear from Mike Brown and try and get a few players in here between now and midnight. That's right, we're keeping it rolling to midnight. Warriors beat the Grizzlies 110-96, and they are on to the conference finals. And you heard it all right here on 95.7 The Game.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Draymond wants to run. Bounce pass over to Curry for a three. It's good! It's good! Warriors up six. Timeout, Memphis.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson inside Chase Center. Tim Roy on the call there. Warriors get it done tonight. Improving to 6-0 now in the postseason at home, as they win it 110-96, 4-2 in the series. It's on to the conference finals, which will begin on Wednesday. We don't know against who, and we don't know where at this point. I know the Warriors did release after the game the statement that single-game tickets for the conference finals are going to go on sale on Saturday. So tomorrow, exclusive pre-sale before becoming available to the general public on Sunday. So there's an exclusive pre-sale tomorrow, and then they go on sale to the general public on Sunday the 15th at 10 o'clock. So stay tuned for all of the info on that. And we do know, if you're trying to plan ahead, if it's Phoenix, the Warriors that play the first two on the road, the three home games in the series if they play Phoenix, would be Sunday the 22nd, Tuesday the 24th, and Saturday the 28th would be Game 6, 2 weeks from tomorrow. If they play Dallas, then it would be the first two games next Wednesday and Friday would be inside Chase Center, and then Game 5 of a Dallas series would be on Thursday the 26th, and Game 7 of a Dallas series would be on Memorial Day Monday on May the 30th. So all of those seven dates from the 18th to the 30th are all on the board. Obviously, home court advantage, 1, 2, 5, and 7 if it's Dallas, and no home court advantage, 3, 4, and 6 if it winds up being the Suns. You got to stay tuned and see how the Suns and the Mavs play it out in their Game 7, which got kicked to the evening on Sunday because there's also going to be a Game 7 on the Sunday afternoon between the Bucks and the Celtics in Boston. Joe in Fremont, back to the phones we go here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. I'm so glad that you allowed me to have an opportunity to talk. This was my first time at the Chase Center for an actual playoff game, and I have to tell you, the environment was absolutely incredible. I've been to Oracle multiple times, and Oracle was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I've been there for all different types of games, from the Baron Davis dunk to the winning the finals. It was absolutely incredible. However, I will have to share with you, I've heard people tell me Chase Center is not the same. Chase Center is slowly but steadily becoming an Oracle mini. I've had a fantastic time. Tonight's game was all about resiliency. Every time the Grizzlies took an opportunity and seized the game and either tied the game or took a lead in the game, our guys came and they came to play. They came to make those big plays. They drained those three-pointers when it mattered. Game 6, Clay is real. He came and he delivered at this game. And I am so absolutely incredible and proud to be a Warriors fan and to actually have the opportunity to attend tonight's game. There was a few callers prior to me saying this game was one for all of the folks who could not make the game. That is absolutely right. And I am so thankful again for the opportunity to be able to attend this game. And not only that, but share the experience with everybody listening at this time. So if you ever have an opportunity, please, 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 please make it out to Oracle. Not Oracle, I apologize, Chase Center, and be loud, be proud, and have a fantastic time. These guys are playing their hearts out, and, Looney, 22 rebounds, that's absolutely unheard of. This guy was doing an incredible job tonight, but Klay Thompson, they say Killer Klay, he really came and delivered the game. So thank you, folks. Thank you, 95.7, for taking my phone call. I appreciate this. First-time caller, long-time listener, but I really, really appreciate this, and I can't wait to see what our Dubs do in the Western Conference Finals here. I think we have an extremely incredible opportunity to win and shut up a lot of these naysayers. It's like, hey, we're past our prime. We're ready to win. We've got the opportunity, and I know we have what it takes. So thank you guys for taking my call.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Really well said as far as the perspective on, you know, the comparison between Oracle, and especially if you go back to the We Believe era of Oracle and the first couple of years, you know, really 14, 15, 15, 16 of the championship run. Those are once in a generation or once in a lifetime type crowds. They really are. And there can be great crowds that maybe don't match up to those crowds because they are so special. I think that was well said. But I think, you know, the one thing about Chase, it is building its own identity, and the only way it builds its own identity, the Bulls back in their day moved from the old Chicago Stadium to United Center, and they had won three championships at United Center, and then they ended up winning three championships, or they won at Chicago State, and they ended up winning three at United Center. The Lakers had won all those championships in the Forum, and it took a while. Staples, it took a while, and then Staples, and now Crypto, and all of that. Like, they, you know, it built its own atmosphere and ambiance over time. So I think this thing, you know, it's still in the infancy stages. And look, the Warriors haven't lost a game in this building in the playoffs yet. So I think that's got to count for something here as they move forward on this run. That guy in Oakland next here on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, that guy?
Hey, good evening, JD. I appreciate you taking my call. Hey, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Bob Myers even said that. He said, you know, memories and stadiums don't get their identity until the postseason starts. So, and that's where the memories and, you know, the things are happening in the postseason. But, hey, just a few comments on the Warriors tonight. It was unbelievable that they came back and showed everyone, you know, the heart of the champions here, so to speak. Not just the big three, but Looney as well. You know, he rose to the occasion. You had the veterans lobbying to get him in, Draymond and Curry, to get him back in the starting lineup, and he showed up in a big way. So, you know, I want to say congratulations. As fans, we appreciate them. We appreciate the players, the coaching staff, Brown. You know, everyone was saying, oh, he's lucky to have the Sacramento job after getting blown out, you know. And so all those guys put it together that, you know, they didn't hear the noise, and they said, hey, let's get this done at home Friday night, Friday the 13th. And congratulations to the Warriors themselves and everyone that makes up that management staff. And so we appreciate that. But going forward, I'd like to get your take on if Iguodala comes back and Otto Porter Jr., and, of course, I don't think GP2 is coming back unless they go to the finals. So are those two guys – is Iguodala going to be able to come back, and is Porter Jr. going to be able to come back? And Steve Kerr, by the way, is he due back on Wednesday if that happens? Once again, I appreciate it, JD. You have a great night. I appreciate you taking calls till midnight. Be safe, brother.
Yep, appreciate it. Thanks a lot, that guy in Oakland checking in here. As far as a couple of those, you know, Iguodala, I know he was ruled out a couple of days ago for the game today. I think the Warriors are hopeful that they can maybe get Iguodala back at some point in the conference finals. Yeah, Gary Payton II is probably going to be toward the back end of the conference finals, or they'd have to get to the NBA finals. And Steve Kerr, I think, was going to be iffy if they had to go play the game 7. I really do, just based on the timing of everything. But I think he's got a pretty good shot. And look, nobody really knows, and it is kind of a private matter. No, like, nobody knows. I know he's been involved in a lot of these coaches' meetings. Everybody's handled COVID differently. But I do think if you just look at the timeline for when – oh, he tested positive on Monday, so you go back to that was the 9th, and then we're going to be talking about the conference finals beginning on the 18th, so he's right around that 9 or 10 day mark. So assuming that he's had relatively mild symptoms, then, you know, maybe that's right around that 10 day mark from a positive test to where somebody can get back, and if he's already feeling better, you know, I think he's got a shot in terms of, as long as everything's going well, maybe being back for game 1 of the conference finals. Let's go to Chris in San Leandro next year on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Chris.
JD, this is the first playoffs at Chase Center, and it has the ingredients for a magical run. I just got to say that I've been at Chase Center for 3 playoffs games so far, and it has been loud. It has been rocking. And I got a question for you, though. When you look around the league, Luka, Tatum, Giannis have had these spectacular takeover games. While Steph's numbers have been solid and great, he hasn't had that takeover game yet. Does he need to, or are we such a well-balanced team that he doesn't even need to have that wow, that incredible game? Thanks for taking my call, JD.
He's going to need to have a couple of them between now. If they're going to win the championship, he's going to need to have a couple of them. And I'll bet you if the Warriors win the championship, and we're talking about, you know, a month from tonight or something like that, I'm just picking a date out of the hat. I think that'd be maybe game 5, game 6, somewhere in there in the NBA Finals. But anyway, you pick a date. Game 5 actually would be a month from tonight on the 13th of June. But if you pick, he's gonna have to have at least 2 of those dominant games, I think, and maybe 3 if we're gonna be talking about the Warriors winning an NBA championship. But they are a balanced team that have been able to overcome. It's been able to be a little bit of these two guys this night and those two guys the next night and getting a little bit of the intangibles from a lot of different players as well. But no, he's absolutely going to have it if we're going to be talking about the Warriors winning a championship. All right, let's get to our shot of the game, which is presented by the County of Santa Clara.
Curry on Jackson, step back, it's a three, no good. Looney, offensive rebound, touch pass to Thompson, finds Curry. Curry dribble drive, behind the back in traffic, no look pass, batted away, goes right to Looney, that's a break. Looney stops in the paint to Draymond, handoff Curry, deep three on the way with one on the clock. Back rim miss, Looney again, finds Thompson, loads up a triple, good! It's madness, just madness.
Madness indeed with Tim Roy on the call there as the Warriors, you know, the ball movement was there, the offensive rebounding was there, and I thought the Warriors, you know, down the stretch at least in this one with so many careless turnovers in this game and over the course of this series, they were able to attack the paint and with a little bit more of the drive and kick game at you know in the closing moments to get some better looks that helped them put this thing over the top. That among them there, and that is our shot of the game, presented by the County of Santa Clara. Book a COVID-19 booster shot now at sccfreevax.org, or you can call 211. All right, let's hear a couple of minutes of Mike Brown post-game downstairs. A lot of good sound bites from Mike Brown in the post-game press conference. We'll also hear from Klay Thompson as the Warriors get the job done, winning this series in six. Here is the acting head coach of the Dubs, Mike Brown.
They took us to the brink in this series. There were a lot of games that you can literally take a coin and just kind of flip it up, and it can go either way. And so my hat goes off to Taylor and his group of players, as well as the organization, because they're going to be around for a long time. Next man, Loon. What a game. Holy moly. 22 boards. When was the last time somebody had 22 boards?
Larry Smith was the last playoff game, like an 87.
It's fantastic. I think what's more impressive than the 22 boards is I think I ran them 17 straight minutes. And I kept looking at him because after the first five, he looked like he was dying. Then the next two, he looked like he was worse. I don't know if you can get any worse. And then every minute after that, I was just saying, Loon, hold on. Loon, hold on. And he did. Klay, you guys have been around here a while. You know how Klay is with game sixes. What a time to step up tonight. He was fantastic. Not only, you know, you look at his shooting, he had eight boards. And that was one of the things that we stressed was our guards got a rebound. He had eight boards. And on top of that, you know, we one of the adjustments we made, we felt like we wanted to put a bigger body on Bane. And he not only scored 30, shooting 11 for 22, but he chased Bane around all night. That's no easy task. Wiggins, Draymond, between the two of them, it's 26 rebounds. And I said to you guys before, when we win the rebound game and the possession game, we give ourselves a chance to win the game. And Draymond with his 16, Wiggs with his 10, Klay with his 8, and then obviously Loon. That is remarkable against a team of that size and that athleticism. Obviously, Steph is Steph. But the last thing I'd say is we played two guys that don't get a ton of minutes. And one of them, obviously, is D. Lee. He was fantastic. The next one is Belly. It's hard to sit for as long as he has and throw him in during crucial minutes in a closeout game. And he was fantastic. We were down, and I think he came up with one or two offensive rebounds that got us jump-started a little bit, that energized us. So those two guys, it's, you know, Steve said it from day one, it's about next man up. Those two guys did it and really helped us get the win.
You ever seen 70 rebounds in a game total?
I don't think so. I'm looking at the 25 offensive rebounds, and I it doesn't look right to me still, so let alone 70.
How debated was the Looney start, and why did you end up deciding to go with it?
It was debated a little bit, but the reality of it was Draymond's call, Draymond and Steph's, and it's our job to give our players confidence, and they looked us all in the eye and said, that's where we're going to get our confidence. They've done it before. Draymond has carried this organization for years with his hard hat. You know, obviously Steph and Klay with their shooting, but what Draymond does, it's unbelievable. And Steve is going to roll with Draymond no matter what he says and what the outcome is.
Did you almost coach this like a game seven? I mean, Andrew played 42 minutes or whatever, Draymond, and all these. I mean, was that feeling like that in your mind to make sure you just went, everybody gave everything they had?
This is the first time on my minute sheet this year that I had guys log for 40 plus minutes. So we didn't want to go back to Memphis.
Wiggins certainly, you know, has not quite been through something like this.
For sure.
Everybody's curious. You think there was a curiosity to see what he would do? And what did you think of certainly in the whole game, but the last 7 minutes when you went with a starting lineup to close, what did you see from him?
I saw a resiliency that, you know, most people didn't think he had, especially when he was in Minnesota. I mean, he stepped up. He was picking up full court. He was switching and keeping bigger guys off the glass. He just sat down and dug in for us. And that was the same thing that he did. It was a game four for us at the end of the game. So he's showing up in big moments. And I hope he gets his due credit because he was huge for us this series.
Mike, you've been around Klay Thompson a long time. What do you think this moment meant to him to be able to play like this and, you know, in the game he's known for and kind of get back to himself?
When I went to give him a hug, you know, I was ready to tell him just, you know, I went to say, I love you and great job. I started saying that. It was crazy. The only thing he said was, Mike Brown, I'm going to miss you next year when you're in Sacramento. I'm going to miss you yelling at me, telling me to get back on transition defense. I said, okay, Klay. So that's Klay. He expects to go out there and play great. We expect him to go out there and play great. But the thing that he did tonight offensively, in my opinion, I still need to go back and watch the tape. I thought the shots that he took were great shots. They were fantastic. And one of the things that Steve always preaches is good to great. He was on point tonight with his shots.
Is this the loudest you've ever heard at Chase Center? What do you think of the atmosphere overall?
It was loud. I tell you, though, sitting in that seat for Steve Kerr, you don't really hear a lot. You're kind of lost in your own world a little bit, you know. So I know it was loud, but it was hard for me to really appreciate, you know.
Mike, you mentioned earlier that Steph and Draymond kind of made that call for Kevon to start. How exactly did that come about? Like, did you just ask them directly? How did that manifest?
We talked to them on the flight back, you know, and actually, the reality of it is we started talking about it during game five at the end, you know, because we knew going into that game, the one thing we didn't want to do, we didn't want to chase a win in that game. As a staff, Steve brought that up to us. He said, don't go into the game chasing it. So we knew there could be a little bit of an emotional letdown. The Grizzlies, they're a tough, tough, tough group. Their fans are terrific and their backs were against the wall. So we went in, you know, obviously with a game plan, trying to get it done. We realized early on that it wasn't. And so, you know, watching the course of the game, especially in the second half, watching different things, start thinking about a few things and running it by this guy or that guy or this coach or that coach. And then when we got on the plane the next day, I had watched the film and I had some ideas. And so I ran some of the ideas by those guys, and they were pretty adamant about it. At the end of the day, it's Steve's call. And, you know, Steve, you know, you always hear this guy or that guy's a player's coach. Steve's a player's coach, and he's going to roll with his guys because he's got it done with his guys many, many other times before. So it was for us starting with him, it was a no-brainer.
What worked for Wiggins in the fourth quarter? I mean, he was responsible for a lot of those offensive rebounds and hit some really tough shots as well in the fourth.
He was just engaged from Jump Street. This morning during shoot around, I knew he'd have a big game because we changed our pick and roll coverage. And when we made the change, Wiggs asked, he was like, Coach, you want me to pick up Tyus Jones full court? I said, Wiggs, you want to do that for 48 minutes? He said, I'm locked in. I'll do it for 48 minutes. You just tell me. I said, okay, we'll pick and choose your spots. So when a guy like that comes to you and says that, you know he's ready for the task at hand.
Mike
And Andrew Wiggins was ready for the task at hand. For all game six, Klay, how about game six Wiggins? And yeah, just an incredible quote. And Mike Brown, the folks in Sacramento are going to enjoy Mike Brown. He is a storyteller. He lets you in a little bit, you know, behind the curtain, kind of picks and chooses. But a quality storyteller in Mike Brown and some of the moments of levity that he'll bring to the table there and laying out. Just a little bit about Klay Thompson, a little bit there about what was going on tonight with Andrew Wiggins. And, yeah, he was just terrific in this ball game. And I think that the general theme of that, and I think the general theme just from reading some of the tweets and quotes coming out of the post-game press conference, Warriors wanted to make sure they didn't go back and have to play with another long flight in between and going back to Memphis, you know, two-thirds, three-quarters way across the country to play another Game 7. I know Klay Thompson addressed that among many other things in his post-game press conference. Let's hear from Game 6, Klay, following the Warriors' victory.
So I think Loon said they just expected Game 6, Klay. They knew that was coming. Is it easy for you? Do you just say, okay, now this is the time?
It's something that just comes naturally. I don't go to sleep last night thinking of scoring 30 or shooting the ball well. I just was thinking about how far I've come and how grateful I am to have another closeout game at Chase. And luckily, it was one of my nights and, you know, carry this momentum into the WCF.
Klay, did that feel like it used to feel? Like, did that feel like, you know, how it used to be out there?
It felt better, honestly. I mean, especially the perspective I've gained from the injuries I had to now be able to compete at the highest level and be one of the final four teams. It's a feeling that's hard to describe, honestly. It's truly amazing, and it just inspires me to keep going because I think we still have great basketball ahead of us.
You have a long list of kind of unsung teammates over your career. Where does Kevon Looney kind of rank on that list for you, and considering obviously what he did tonight?
22 boards in 35 minutes, probably a season high. Just we needed every single one of those. Kevon was possibly our MVP tonight, and wow, just I'm so proud of him. He also had injury problems early in his career, a couple surgeries, and for him to be out here doing this at the highest level, he's going to be rewarded for it.
Hey, Klay, I know each game is unique in and of itself, and they're several years apart, but are there certain things about game sixes that bring the best out of you?
I have no clue. It's just, I just love the moments. I love the pressure. I love playing basketball at the highest level. Our careers, you know, we're not singers. We're not actors. We can't do this till our elder years. So while we're doing it, you just got to appreciate every single night because it goes really fast. And even tonight sometimes went fast for us. And I just don't have an answer for you for that. It's just something you can't quantify.
You know, Klay, speaking of moments, when you hit your last three of the night in the fourth quarter, you got real fired up, pumped your fist. Can you kind of take us through what that moment was like for you?
Well, 30 sounds way better than 27. And on top of that, just had a lot of pent-up energy these last couple of years. And to be in a situation and to, you know, kind of seal the game there, and just it all came out because I just know how hard it is to get to this part of the season. And it just all came out for me. And to see the sea of Warrior fans, it's a moment I just tried to revel in for the few seconds I had.
Andrew Wiggins also kind of went through a revitalized season this year. What was it like seeing him be able to do what he did tonight in this kind of closeout game as well?
Andrew was special. I mean, his shot wasn't going early, but he made some huge threes for us, huge buckets, double-double, great defense. He has been such a great player for us. He makes impact on both sides of the ball every night. We would not be where we're at without Andrew. And I'm just grateful that he had that mindset to keep shooting because he's such a great scorer, and he just opens up everything for us when he does that.
Klay, Draymond said that they discussed getting Loon back in the starting lineup to have that physicality and 70 rebounds, 22 by Looney. And what do you think of that and the decision that Steph and Draymond were part of and getting Looney in the starting lineup?
Kevon should go by Kevon Olajuwon because he was really just a freak out there. And guy has like elastic arms. You can just stretch. But I mean, Draymond, Steph, Andre, those guys see the game. They're playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers. And Draymond's like an extension of our coaching staff. So is Steph. So it doesn't surprise me that they made that call and Loon delivered.
Kevon Olajuwon. That's one that might stick. For all of the chatter about nickname lineups and this or that, Kevon Olajuwon. That one got me. And of course, you know, hearing it come out of the mouth of Klay Thompson, that only adds to the value there. Just spectacular stuff from Klay Thompson post game. And yeah, game six, Klay back and in full effect for the first time in nearly 3 years. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll call it a night there. We'll try and get more of the post-game press conferences on to Warriors this week tomorrow as I'm going to do the quick turnaround and roll right back in 9 a.m. Alan Stiles is going to be filling in for Whitey Gleason. and we'll keep it rolling into the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk about this series and where it leaves the Warriors now halfway through their journey toward an NBA championship. 9 a.m. For myself and Alan Stiles tomorrow morning. Keep it locked right here on 95.7 The Game. Big thanks to Sterling Bennett and to Craig Valentino and to everybody in our San Francisco studios getting the job done, putting all the highlights together and getting us on the air, and also cutting up all the post-game sound that we get a chance to play for you toward the end of the night. Really, really appreciate the hard work of one and all. So that'll do it for me. Back tomorrow, 9 a.m., back with Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, as Damon and Ratto are going to have Warriors live for you. 4:30 on Wednesday. Is it going to be the Warriors playing at Chase Center against the Mavs or down in the Valley of the Sun against the Phoenix Suns? We'll find out on Sunday. But the one thing we know, the Warriors back in the conference finals, and that's because they beat the Grizzlies tonight, 110-96, and you heard it right here on 95.7 The Game. Good night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.